Hello, I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, creator of the Incandescent Radio Network, here with my friend and colleague, Tony Farmer, host of the Black Lives Matter radio show. We are thrilled you are here with us today, so let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the Black Lives Matter radio show on Incandescent Radio. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Incorporated, here with Tony Farmer, host of the Black Lives radio show, and also now on incandescent.tv. So we have them flowing in two separate ways. And we could not be happier tonight than to be with Angela Patton and three of the young women who are part of her Girls for a Change, a nonprofit organization, headquarters in Richmond, Virginia. It's a national organization doing remarkable things. And these three young women are incredibly impressive. But Angela is really a superstar in her own right. So we're thrilled to have her be part of our show and tell us all about Girls for a Change. So I'm going to throw it over to Tony and take it from here.
Welcome, ladies, and thank you so much for appearing on Black Lives Matter Radio. We're so honored and humbled that you've taken some time out to share your story with us. Angela, I'm going to start with you. Tell us how Girls for a Change got started.
Well, it is a long story, but I'm going to make it short. But thank you for having me. I actually started one part of Girls for a Change called Camp Diva Leadership Academy. And it really just started because I had a call. And I'm going to be really honest. I was not sitting around a room or a table like, I'm going to start a nonprofit and this is my business. It definitely wasn't something I said I wanted to do when I grew up either. So this was something that I was called to do that I think just kind of like based on circumstances, I responded to the calling that I was having for a couple of years, you know, even in conversations with people about the state of Black women and girls or just the state of Black America, you know, I would say, wow, instead of us talking about it, we need to do something about it. And so unfortunately, one of my dear friends lost her daughter tragically through a careless use of a firearm in a relative's home. And her name was Diva. And so it kind of hit me a little harder that my friend lost her daughter at such an early age. And when I heard the pastor read her eulogy, he talked about her name and that what the name Diva meant, and it meant divine. And he made a statement that, you know, all of us have it in us. It's just about trying to nurture that potential within. And her mother named her something that she knew her daughter could be, come. And so I immediately asked her mother, could I put my camp in her honor? And she did. And then after providing the summer camp services and programs for probably about 7 to 8 years, I met Girls for a Change. And that was another nonprofit who came to Richmond looking to expand their services from the West Coast into the East Coast. We partnered for a few years and I was able to not only provide programming for girls in the summer, but year round because I adapted their social change curriculum. And then the CEO kind of got tired and weary of just trying to raise money for women and girl programming, which is quite challenging, and made the suggestion that we merge and that I become the CEO. And that's where we are now. And so when I became the CEO, I also became very intentional and unapologetic about providing programs and services for Black girls and other girls of color, which was a little different from the original plan, but I saw major unmet needs and thought that it was a golden opportunity with the merger to expand to making sure that we really hone into a major problem in Richmond, Virginia specifically.
Jayla, tell me about Camp Diva.
Camp Diva, I was in the Girl Ambassador program, but my little sister was going to do it this summer. So Camp Diva basically is for younger girls from first to fifth grade or middle school. And so basically they learn about leadership. They learn about all the things that are going on and the different careers that are out there for them. And they just learn those basics. And it gets them ready for the Girl Ambassador program, and it's just its own thing, and it's really amazing. I wish that I was there when I started later on. I wish I was in Camp Devo because of all the leadership that they're teaching them, and they're doing great things. Like, I remember this summer, every summer they have a market day, which is basically where they make their own business and they sell their products and they have their own business plan and things like that. So I really think it's really amazing that Miss Angela created something like that.
That is amazing. And speaking of business, Miss Angela, I think we have, if memory serves, an entrepreneur in our midst, a business called Ayana Monet. Ayana, can you tell us a little bit about that business?
Yes, I created my business while I was in the Girl Ambassador program. I always thought it was something that I couldn't do at my age. I was like, I'm just going to wait till I'm older, you know, financially stable. But while I was in the program, I got a lot of fundamentals and skills that helped me create that business and made me so I could, you know, make it, you know, an online platform. Ayana Monet Essentials is an everyday glam essentials company where I sell women and girls essentials, ranging from cosmetics to accessories.
Outstanding. And how long has that business been in play?
Since September of last year.
Okay. Brand new. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So Noelle, tell us what you have learned most so far from being associated with Girls for a Change.
I'm one of the newer members, and I'm also one of the younger members. I'm a sophomore in high school. And I joined around the time the pandemic started. So my experience has been different, but it's still been very good. I've been learning a lot. I learned coding and I learned about business and entrepreneurship. And there's been a lot of opportunities. And we did a Black Lives Matter photo shoot, and that was amazing. And it got a lot of recognition on Instagram. And so everything's been amazing so far, even due to the circumstances. It's still been like, these people have been trying so hard, and I appreciate it, and it's been great. So yeah.
J-Lo, what do you want to say? This is and actually I'm going to ask all three of you to say something. What do you want to say to Miss Angela, Sister Angela? You've got her here. I know you all work closely with her. Each one of you probably has a special story you could tell me. What would you want to say to her for all of her efforts in ensuring that young women of color have an opportunity to impact the world after high school, actually during high school and beyond? So Jayla, we'll start with you. Ayana, you go next, and Noelle, you'll be the third.
Miss Angela definitely is a role model in my opinion, because before I did the Girl Ambassador program, I was just like, I was kind of shy, I still kind of am, but Miss Angela has definitely pushed me out there. This is why I'm here today, because she's always calling for me and wants me to be out there and to get those essentials into practice, talking and speaking and you know, voicing my opinion and make sure that I don't like just take a step back and make sure I'm always in the room and I show my presence in the room. So yeah, she's definitely helped me grow up a little bit, and I'm definitely ready, like, because I'm a senior in high school, so I'm getting ready for college and I'm thinking of what I want to do. And so when I was in the Girl Ambassador program, I'm definitely learning about what I want to do and how I want to incorporate the things that I already learned here. So yeah, she's definitely a good role model for me, and I'm really glad that I've been able to work with her and all the internships that I've had because of her. And so yeah, that's she's been really great.
Okay, Ayana?
Honestly, I can just continuously say thank you. I've never met a woman who has done so much for my life personally. I just see how much she truly cares about each individual that comes in the program. I've never met a woman who took the time to just create a program and design a program to make sure that Black girls had opportunities. Most programs you join, there might be a superior race that, you know, might be getting more opportunities than you are, but she makes sure that she bridges the gap. She just cares so much about it. She makes sure that no barrier comes in our way. If there's a money problem, she'll make sure she makes the program free. If we don't have transportation, she'll provide it. I just see how much she truly cares about each individual. And I've been able to travel with Girls for a Change, and I never thought in a million years I would get like a flight for free to go to LA and experience more opportunities and sit in front of people in the industry. So honestly, I could just continuously say thank you.
Noelle, what's to you?
Though I haven't known Miss Angela for long, I would say she's very inspiring and she just has so much passion. And though it wasn't like her plan, she still continues to fight hard and work hard for this program. And she's so kind and caring, and she like lets you know that she cares about you. Like you know she cares about you the way she gives you advice and the way she talks to you. And she just really wants to help us girls and help us to be smart and beautiful and strong women. So yeah, I thank her for that. And I will most likely continue to be part of this program.
So Angela, my grandmother used to have a saying that I have adopted to myself. And that saying is, give people their flowers while they can still smell them, right? Hearing these young ladies tell you what your impact has been on their lives, what's that do for you? How does it make you feel?
That I need to grab my tissues.
But it's okay. If you need to grab your tissues, go ahead. We'll hold on.
Well, I wanted to say thank you, girls, and you inspire me. One of the things that, you know, you hear a lot of, and I'm sure your grandmother has told you this too, that Black women can tend to be very hard on you and they are angry and they expect all of these things. But so, you know, I am a much older person than most people think I am a lot of times. And so I do carry a lot of old school in me. So I'm very familiar with that saying. Mm-hmm. And so with that saying, I'm really trying to prepare the girls to leave their scent in the room because they are the blossoming flowers. Mm-hmm. And I want people to always remember who they are, because it's too many times that Black women and girls are invisible. They are, people say they're loud, but they're never heard. And we are not celebrated a lot of times unless we're doing something to satisfy other things in people and besides ourselves first. And so changing the narrative is about like changing the behavior. So I'm very consistent on that. And so when I hear the girls say that, I'm appreciative that they are getting it, mm-hmm. right? They get it. They understand that when I'm like, what you doing? Get it together, call me back, answer the phone, and having each other hold each other accountable, mm-hmm. it's for the bigger picture. Yeah. Not because I'm an angry Black woman, not at them anyway. Right. I got some things to be angry about for sure. But those things that I'm angry about, I'm trying to counteract them into the program and provide an opportunity for the girls. And so when I hear it, I am satisfied. That's a good way to say that. Because too many times people, especially, you know, people that are educators and are teachers or people that are leaders in the community, you don't always know if it's working just because they filled out a pre or post test.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And Absolutely. Took a survey. Sometimes you still don't know, are they getting it? But to hear the girls answer that question, I'm satisfied and I'm so happy, and I look forward to seeing what they're going to become when they are older women, because right now they are dynamic young women.
So let's talk about that a little bit. We're going to send this link out once we, you know, get our editors to do what they do, our fantastic editors, by the way. And Hope and I's desire is that what we do will assist you in growing this program. Give me an idea of how many young ladies have gone through this program so far, and kind of what you've seen as the fruits, what has been the harvest been that you've been able to see yourself?
Well, overall, Girls for Change has served since its inception over like 30,000 girls.
30,000, wow.
Yes, but since I've kind of narrowed down the focus on Black girls specifically and other girls of color, and also focused in on the Richmond population or Richmond metropolitan population, we are probably around 5,000 girls. You know, if I was to include girls that have been in Camp Diva, which Sister Yana was in Camp Diva when she was in middle school. But, you know, when we think about programs too, we are not trying to say that it's all about, you know, we want as many girls as possible to be in the program, but you have to have capacity to do that. You have mm-hmm. to have consistency. You have to have an infrastructure, or the vision and the mission will be watered down. So okay. I want girls like Ayana, Jayla, and Noel to feel like they belong. It's all about a sense of belonging. So if you have 500 children in a camp so they can check the box, even when you have all Black girls together, all girls of color together, and they are not now competing with white girls or competing with boys, they now compete with each other. And it's very hard to create unity with these huge groups and all of these certain circumstances that girls may deal with. So I'm saying that to say that we try to keep them small and intimate.
Okay.
And so the goal for Girls for Change is that you start as early as first grade, you stick with us into your early adulthood, and you stick in because we're trying to see you through success. So okay. seeing you through success means that you have a continual approach. And then we have a few girls that are in the first through fifth grade program, a few girls in middle school programs, and a few in high school programs. And then we have a program that will keep our girls engaged into their college years or early adulthood years, because it's all about skill building, you know, for them and having resources. And we don't want to lose our girls, and we don't want our girls to feel like they no longer belong because they've aged out or it's not a program that works for them anymore. So you have to do that by keeping it intimate as well.
Jayla, we will inaugurate on January 20th, the first African-American female vice president. What's that mean to you?
It's definitely something I never thought would happen. I'm really glad that there is someone out there that we can look up to, even though there's some things people agree with and some things people don't agree with, but it's still a good representation for us Black girls and Black women. So I'm really excited, and I hope she does well.
And what school are you planning to attend after you graduate? Do you have any idea?
I definitely want to attend HBCU. We'll see how it goes. I'm looking towards Howard or Hampton. But other than that, I'm also looking at JMU and VCU here. So I don't want to really go outside of school, like outside of the state that much. But yeah, I'm really excited.
Okay. Ayana, when Kamala Harris was announced as the first African-American female vice president, what went on through your mind? What did you see for yourself?
Honestly, it was just amazing to see representation in the political field. If you think back years ago, Black women weren't even able to vote, not let alone like be in office. So I was honored to see, you know, a role model for other girls that we can be in the political system. So, yes.
And what do you establish as a goal for yourself to help other young ladies coming behind you?
A goal for myself is just to, well, for others, is to help inspire. I'm very big on young girls becoming entrepreneurs. I often teach girls younger than me how to become entrepreneurs. I think it's very important. If there's something that you want to do, feel free to do it. Don't let age be a limit for you.
Noel, based on your participation in the program and everything that you've learned, if a young lady, young woman of color walked up to you and said, "There's these things that I want to do either in the political space or the business space, but I just don't see myself doing it," what is your advice to her?
I would, for one, ask her why. Like, why don't you want to? Because even though some Black women don't get the same job opportunities, I feel like we should still fight until someone tells you no. Even if someone does tell you no, still try, because you never know. Someone else could come along and give you an even better job, or you just don't know the circumstances. So I would say keep trying until you achieve something or until you feel satisfied.
And tell me about some of your goals, some of the things you're planning for yourself in the future.
I know I want to go to college. I haven't figured out where yet, but I know I either want to go to culinary school, a fashion school, or an art school.
Outstanding. So, Angela, when you hear these things, right, these very well-spoken young ladies who have been under your, look at this smile. We don't have visual on YouTube yet, but boy, if our listeners could see the smile on Angela Patton's face right now, tell us what you're thinking and feeling right now when you hear these very well-spoken women who've been a part of your program and how well they represent themselves. What goes on in your mind?
A few things. One is, remember when I said earlier that they are already divine goddesses. And so programs like Girls for Change, the family structure that they already have around support systems, you know, is just nurturing that potential. And so when I hear that, I know that it's working. You know, it's working. And so I'm really excited that they can pay it forward, because that's extremely important. The other thing that goes in my head is, how am I going to help them achieve those goals? So Sister Jaylee and I are going to have a phone call after we hang up, because just last week I received an email from Visa, and they are looking to give my girls $20,000 in scholarship money for them to go to a college of their choice. And she named all the schools that they would support. And not only would she get it for her first year, she would get it for her sophomore year, her junior year, and her senior year, $20,000. And top it all off, they will offer her a job at Visa if she chooses to, guaranteed, because she was a part of this scholarship program. And she's eligible because she's a senior. And so every time my girls speak, I just keep thinking about, what else can I do to bridge gaps and make it easier? Because we all know the difficulties of going to college, especially at HBCU, that once again, you know, doesn't have all of the resources, but absolutely she should be at an HBCU with all of that power that girl has. And so we're gonna try to get her in that Howard University and some money too. So those things go to my head. It's not like, oh my God, the program worked. And I'm like, wow, okay, culinary schools, the fashion school, I gotta keep it's more resources. And we have partnerships with FIT and Parsons. So might as well make sure my girls are connected to them.
Jayla, what do you think about that? You have this wonderful advocate who is taking calls on your behalf, and you have an agent as a senior in high school working these scholarship opportunities. How does that make you feel?
Oh, I'm definitely grateful. I've always been grateful for Miss Angela. This college is very hard. Like, I know it's hard, and the application process is very confusing to me. So I am really glad that I have someone in my court and with my parents, and then Miss Angela and my family, everyone behind me, just making me feel even more stronger and even more ready to get out there and voice my opinion and make sure my voice is in the room.
Outstanding. Ayana, tell me what the next step is for Ayana Monet. I'm going to look in 2 years, and Ayana Monet is going to be where and doing what?
Well, I definitely want to go to college as well. I've been looking at HBCU since I was a young child, knowing that I was going to VSU every weekend to go see the dancers and the band and all that. I definitely see college in my future. I also see myself branching out and opening more businesses, expanding Ayana Monet Essentials, helping Black girls in my community, because that's always going to be a need.
So, Noelle, when you think about what your sisters have shared about their goals and their future presence, whether it be in college or whether in business, how's that inspire you? How does that give you an idea of what you want to do with the rest of your life?
Well, I look up to these girls, and I'm actually really happy for Jayla. Like, that's an amazing opportunity. I'm kind of jealous, even though I'm only a sophomore, but it definitely does inspire me to look into college more and talk to Miss Angela about it, because you never know what you're going to get.
So Angela, one of the things that we have struggled with in terms of getting people to embrace education, embrace all of the things that are available to us in terms of opportunity, is to get young people really focused on what they need to do to attain these scholarships. Tell me some of the things you've done to get them motivated to get good grades, you know, focus in school, focus on extracurricular activity, to stay on the forefront of scholarship providers and where they invest their monies.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I do, Brother Tony, is I'm trying to make sure Black girls are respected in the education system. Okay. So if we really want to talk about, like, let me get them to college. If you have already disrupted a third grade Black girl's experience in school, it's really difficult for her to think about college. So we at Girls for Change and our social change work are not only trying to prepare Black girls for the world, but the world for Black girls. How are you making sure that in a school that she is not in a position where she is suffering from push out? And we know what that is all about, the school to prison pipeline, because how she wears her hair, would she, has she say it, and has she wear her clothes? And then you're making her feel as though she does not belong in the school, whether it's a predominantly white school, whether it's a majority Black school, whether it is a private school. Black girls have had many stories around how they do not feel like they are respected in a school system. So I start there first. And then I'm trying to close all of these gaps by partnering with the schools, especially from the top to, you know, the middle to the bottom. You got to talk to everybody and whoever's willing to talk to you about making sure that Girls for Change has representation in the schools, so that the girls would know that that's some place I can go when I don't feel like a teacher's heard me, when I don't feel like the principal is listening, and so that we can partner with the girls to advocate for her on her behalf and really pull back all of these, you know, I would say biases, this is call it what it is, that happen in the school because she is a Black girl. Another thing is really trying to make sure that we support her with out of school time programming. So programs and services and experiences that unfortunately schools cannot provide for them because of, you know, restrictions and just how the system is set up. But at Girls for a Change, I don't have those barriers. You know, I can, you know, pull out a different red carpet for the girls. You know, I can make different phone calls and give them access to things. And I don't have to have a board meeting and wait 3 months for the girls to be able to take full advantage of something that is robust and something that is happening. And at the speed of the light, it could be gone. Right. So those are the things that I'm doing. Also, we partner with Black social workers, psychologists, also with, you know, workforce programs, tutoring programs. So when we do see that our girls need extra support and their parents are not able to either afford it or don't know where to go, we have these additional resources to support the girls. And then I'm always just a person that if I'm in a room where I can network, I'm not networking for like Girls for a Change and make a donation all the time. Right. I'm networking for the girls. Now, I'm not saying we don't need donations in order to do this work. We got to raise money. But I'm also looking at opportunities where I could say, oh, well, one of my girls can do that for you. Or have you considered, you know, hiring a girl? Would you like to be a part of a different program? Just letting people know that even if you don't have the funding, you have something. You have something that you can offer to them. And I want to help broaden people's minds about how they can support Black girls. Because, you know, even at the Black Lives Matter, you know, televised movement, that's when people would say, well, what can I do? You always were able to do something. you know, and so we're trying to help the girls that way. And so we end up with scholarships from that and people thinking outside the box, like this visa opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. About ways that they can support that they've never thought about before. But that's because we are looking for those resources, or we're having conversations and asking people to really think differently and innovatively, and also dismiss the barriers that you've put in your head because of your own experiences, and really dig deeper into what you really can do to create systemic change. That's the goal.
Yes. Angela, you did something that I found to be extremely powerful. And I want you to talk a little bit about it so that our listeners understand the depth of your work. When I was doing some research, I saw that you had managed to connect young women, young girls, with their fathers who were in prison, and to actually have a dance or a social. Talk a little bit about how that came about.
Well, we do a program called Girl Action Teams, and usually it's for middle school and high school girls. We have these teams inside of schools or other community-based programs. And the goal is for the girls to really tackle issues that are important to them. So we don't go in and say, let's, you know, have a protest, or let's, you know, connect you with your father in prison. We try to ask the, we don't try that, we do. I think you talked about it earlier about how you ask these critical questions, so you won't be telling them what they're going to do. Well, right. We call them powerful questions.
Yes.
So these powerful questions that we're asking, and we use really life coaching techniques, so the girls can kind of decide for themselves on what the root issues are. And then they tackle these issues and create solutions. And so this particular group decided that one of the issues was the negative narrative around Black fathers. And a lot of them did not feel like they were true, whether their father lived in their home, whether their father was incarcerated or lived out of town, or even had an extended or blended family. The narrative was not their experiences. And some girls who may have had some really challenging experiences had adults in their lives that created them. And so they realized, you know, they were just kind of talking about all of these circumstances around why the Black family was in a crisis. So what happened was, the girls really had a dance with their fathers in the community first. Mm-hmm. And then it was a girl that just could not attend because her father was incarcerated. And then another girl couldn't attend because her father was deceased, but the girls wanted them there, right?
Okay.
So the one that father was deceased, she came anyway. And this gentleman that was just a volunteer with his wife at the event ended up being like her, we called him like her stand-in dad. And it just kind of like showed that Black men do stand up for young Black girls too, right? But we don't hear about it. And they had a ball there, and it became a tradition with children that were in foster care, their fathers were deceased. And if they didn't have a father figure, we would have these amazing Black men who would say, well, I'll meet a girl there and give her an experience. And that was awesome. But the girl that father was incarcerated, the girls wanted to do something for her too. And so they decided that they would write a letter to the sheriff and just ask him. And he invited them to a meeting and just was like, what do you need? And they were like, we want girls whose fathers are incarcerated to have the same joyful experience we had. And just fortunately for them, that sheriff said yes. And so we have been in a position to do about 15 of these dances between the DMV area. Mm-hmm. And that's DC, Maryland, Virginia, for those of you who are listening. But we are in the process now of doing a documentary about it. Okay. And we also would have a featured movie that I'm doing, that I'm in partnership with Joel Edgerton, an actor, in doing a movie about this experience as well. And the purpose of the movie and the doc is to help the viewer know that there's something they can do too. You know, see the beauty in these girls coming. I wouldn't have come up with that in 1,000 years. Because as grown people, we're going to think about all of the barriers, because we're talking about them going to jail. We're going to be scared as I don't know what. But children are not that way. They just knew that they wanted to be with their fathers. And so that's the beauty of social change. It makes you kind of change how you see things. And so I'm really excited that the film and the doc would allow people to think about young people and their voices and how they do matter and how they really can make some significant change. Also to help people think about how to address issues around criminal justice, and then also the prison reform and really thinking about, if you are a community leader, how can you really do things differently? Or if you're just a person who want to do something, just maybe it inspire you to do that, whatever that something may be. So those are some takeaways that we hope that those young girls started. So I'm paying it forward, but it all came from middle school girls. Yeah. They were all in middle school. They were amazing, right?
You have definitely talked about the power of young women and young women of color, and the world needs to get ready, right? I think we need to make some shirts that said the world needs to get ready for Jayla, Noelle, and Yana, they coming. Get ready. If you don't know what that means, call Angela Patton. She'll get you up to speed, and you'll have a better understanding of what you need to do, what kind of changes you need to make your culture, your environment, to ensure that your organization succeeds because these young ladies succeed. Angela, we have a tradition here on the Black Lives Matter radio program, and this evening will be no different. I get to spend the majority of time just kind of picking your brain and kind of expositing, you know, what is available with regard to what we're doing in the Black community and how important those things are. Hope gets to ask the last question. So I throw it over to Hope to ask you the last question of the show.
Thank you, Tony. So Angela, my big question for you is, what's your vision for this program in 5 years? Where do you see it? Where do you see it going?
You know, that's a great question, Hope, because I could sit here and just make up something that everybody would want to hear. But this work that I have signed up for, this work that I was called to do, this journey, it will be where it still is because of where we are in America. I'm just going to be honest with you. So where I see the most significant change is within the girls. To do what Noelle said, when someone tells you no, because in 5 years, they're still going to be telling Black women no. Don't give up. Noelle, Jayla, Ayana, and all of the other girls that work with us and stay with us and co-create these programs with us have a skill now that is going to be something that my great-grandmother never would have imagined. But that is going to be something that the girls are going to be able to feel, see, and experience. But for those who are not ready, it's going to take a little bit longer than 5 years. So what I see is that I am still preparing the girls, but they're going to be a lot more capable and equipped to show up and to see than those who still fear the Black woman. And until you grow up and do some research and really truly be in this space of changing, these girls are not going to be what you're ready for, but they're not coming to scare you. They're not coming to push you out. They're not coming to intimidate you or any of that. They're coming to really join you and to make you better, to make you stronger, to make the world a more nurturing place to be. But we all are aware about how many people don't want to see Black women and girls succeed. So in 5 years, you know what I'm gonna be doing? the same thing I'm doing in 10 minutes when I hang up this phone.
That's awesome.
That's the truth.
That is
awesome. No need to sugarcoat it, because people want you to say what sounds good, but in order to change a system, I too have to stay in on it. But I am making sure that in 5 years, if I'm not here, and it's only because I've transitioned to another life, but I take good care of myself and try my best not to get hit by a bus, okay, so that I can be here. I am really hopeful that the girls on this call and the girls that they know the importance of making sure that a program like this lasts, because it's still so much more work that needs to be done. And I'm here for it. And those that want to join my moving train, as long as you ain't trying to derail us, you are welcome. Because where we really going, and maybe hopefully 20 years, is to make sure that our girls have victory. That's where the train is going.
Beautiful, beautiful. From looking at your website, it looks like you work with about 100 groups around the country. How do people set up a chapter, or how do they join you if they're not in Richmond?
Yeah, so the only we have a very national presence because of our programming and some of the, you know, basically from the TED Talk and, you know, the work that we've done in the West Coast. So if people are interested in a chapter, they just fill out the form that is on our website, and then we get back with them, and then we see what we can do to support them and what resources that they're able to bring at the table. There are little challenges now because of COVID, because it's usually like a mandatory in-person training, you know, a lot of background checks that we need to do, and a lot of people are a little slower now, but we are still taking applications for those who are interested in starting a Girl Action Team chapter. And that's the only program that we're replicating right now outside of Richmond, Virginia. All of the rest are based in Richmond.
Okay, great. Well, we look forward to telling everybody we know and can about your amazing program. I was just telling Yana that I have a friend, Kim Lee Miner, who is also on the show. She has started an organization called Black Women in Retail.
Awesome.
So I want to hook her up with her and, you know, see what we can do to just really, the work you're doing is fantastic, and you have 100% of our support. So I look forward to continuing the conversation. I want to give a shout out to our good friend Kim Brundage, kimbrundagephotography.com, who took gorgeous pictures of these beautiful young women. She was in Richmond, Virginia, and now she and her husband have sold everything, and they're traveling around the country in a camper, which is super cool. Yeah. So we love Kim. And thank her on the show for connecting us. And so we'll just keep it going. So Tony, I'm going to throw it back to you to finish us up.
Thank you, Hope.
Yeah. Yes, I would like to say to Angela, I don't have words to share with you or to explain to you or to provide you with how deeply this impacts me, the work that you're doing. And as Hope said, we will use our platform in any way that we can to promote the program, to ensure that you continue to get support. To the young ladies, I would say that Noel put it perfectly. Never say you can't. Never let anybody else say that you can't. If somebody says no, you go to the next person, and then you go to the next person, and then you go to the next person, or you create the yes for yourself.
That's
and
right.
So, the one thing that Angela is trying to instill in you right now is how powerful you are. And let me just tell you from experience and, you know, my own personal life, if it were not for Black women, I would not be speaking to you right now. That's a fact, right? That's not an exaggeration. I would be a statistic if it weren't for my grandmother and my aunt and my mother and all the wonderful women who took the time out to ensure that I became the man that I needed to be, the father I needed to be, the son that I needed to be. So Angela, thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Jayla, Ayana, and Noel. I'm looking forward to great things. And I suspect that this won't be our last conversation.
Absolutely not. And we look forward to resharing what you share And thank you for giving a shout out to the fam and thank them for making sure that we got to meet you and be with you today.
Absolutely. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, thank you all. This was really wonderful. I'm just thrilled and honored to meet you. You're amazing. Definitely don't give up. Heck, keep going, right? I mean, it's the way, and we all need to stand together and make sure that everyone has a fair shot and can be as magical as they truly are. So that's what Incandescent is all about. And I look forward to much, much more with you. And thank you to our audience who's listening or watching on YouTube. And we will speak with you next Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Tony Farmer, your host. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Radio. We look forward to speaking to you soon. Have a good night. So that's all for today's episode of the Black Lives Matter radio show on incandescentradio.com. We have an amazing lineup of future guests, just like you heard on today's show. So be sure to tune in for another episode and tell your friends about us so they can listen too. If you or someone you know should be a guest on our show, send me an email, hopekatzgibbs@gmail.com, and we'll be in touch. Again, this is BlackLivesMatterRadioShow.com on the Incandescent Radio Network. We look forward to talking to you. Until then, stay safe and be well.